The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowds, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world." Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. And once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Rise and shine. Welcome back, 7:30. Little tiny thought for you for the day. Question for you, actually. If God is all-powerful and God is all-good, then how is there any evil in the world? What, isn't God powerful enough to stop it? I don't know, maybe God's not good enough to stop it. What do you think? This is a dilemma that's as old as the hills. It's as old as dirt. They've been debating it for about 4,000 years, ever since they started talking about the God of Israel. It's known as the problem of evil. Jesus addresses it head on in the parable that we just heard, the parable of the weeds and the wheat. Let's take a closer look, okay? So a man sows good seed into his field. Then an enemy comes along and sows in weeds. The two grow together, side by side, the wheat and the weeds. And by the way, what Jesus describes in this parable was a real crime, punishable under Roman law. This happened in Jesus' own time. If there was somebody you really disliked in the ancient world, this is what you'd do. You'd go to his field in the springtime as he was planting. And you take a handful of rye grain. It was known as the bearded darnel. You'd throw it into his wheat field, and you'd sit back and watch as the two grew side by side, the wheat and the weeds, and you couldn't tell them apart. They looked exactly the same. Right up until the moment of the harvest, in which the wheat would blossom into a beautiful golden brown, and the weeds, the bearded darnel, would turn slate gray and poisonous. Only then could you tell them apart. But that wasn't the worst of it. The worst of it was all the while they were growing, you knew that some of them were weeds and some of them were wheat, and there was nothing that you could do about it. Because they grew intertwined in such a way that if you tried to rip up what you thought was a weed, you'd rip up the wheat as well, right out by the roots. Now Jesus uses this image and he says, this is the way things are going to be in the world. Anywhere in which my name is invoked. It's going to be this way in the church. It's going to be this way in families. Any institution that calls on the name of God, you're going to discover until the end of the age, side by side, good and evil growing together, and only God will separate them, and only at the end of all things. That's the parable. And we don't like this parable very much. Jesus spoke many very deeply beautiful and deeply beloved parables in the Gospels, and this is not one of them. What we wish Jesus had said would go something like this. The kingdom of heaven is a beautiful field of fertile, perfect grains stretching as far as the eye can see without a single blemish anywhere in sight. That's what we wish Jesus said. Because we want the church to be perfect, right? That's not the parable Jesus told. Or we wish Jesus had said something like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a field of grain on one side and a field of ugly, nasty, poisonous wheat on the other side. Because we like it when good and evil are nicely, clearly defined and separated. But that's not the parable Jesus told. This is the parable Jesus told, right? And it has two main points. Number one, good and evil, they're going to be side by side until the very end, and it's very important that you understand the evil does not come from your good heavenly Father. And secondly, only God's going to separate these out, and only at the end of all things. Now, people who are very mature in their faith, even people who are very mature in their faith, have a hard time with this. They have a hard time believing that God is not responsible for their sufferings. That God is not responsible for the evil in this world. And I mean people who do things like show up at Mass at 7:30 in the morning, right? People who pray on a regular basis. People who go to confession. People who know the Scriptures. People who care about their faith and they're really trying. Have a very hard time believing that God is not responsible for the evil in the world. I could tell you a story. True story now. Story of a university professor taught theology at a prominent Catholic university, which I could name. You would all have heard of it, but I'm not going to name it just to protect the names of the innocent. And this professor one day found himself afflicted with a deathly illness. It was a flesh-eating bacteria that not only killed him, but disfigured his face as he died. Horrible way to go, right? This guy really struggled with his faith. Really struggled. And this is somebody, you know, taught people about God at the university level. So, if you're one of these people who gets angry at God, blames God for all that goes wrong in your life, you want to know what? You can go easy on yourself because you are not alone. It is very, very common. But it's important that we internalize the meaning of this parable. God does not cause evil. Listen, God is to goodness, just like what the sun is to light. Light does not cause shadows. Only blocking the light does that. And God does not cause evil. Evil is a privation, but that's the subject of a whole separate homily, right? I don't want to get into that right now. It's very important that you understand that the good master of the harvest did not cast the weeds into his field. You know, people hear that and they're still not satisfied. They say, yeah, but God could stop all the evil in the world and he doesn't. And I got a problem with that. And he could stop the wars and the killings and the innocent suffering and he doesn't do it. That's right. That's right, he doesn't. And this parable, believe it or not, gives us the mysterious answer as to why he does it, and you can summarize it by saying this. If you tried to rip up the weeds, you would rip up the weed as well. If God were to suddenly and violently extract all the evil out of the world, very much good would be harmed as well. first and foremost, good people who haven't yet found their way to God, but will with a little bit more patience. You look through the history of our church. Some of our greatest saints really sowed wild oats, and for years before they ever found their way to God. Mary Magdalene, for example, just celebrated her feast day yesterday. Scriptures tell us that Christ cast out of Mary Magdalene 7 devils, which is another way of saying she did it all, right? And suppose God had been impatient with her. Suppose God had just snapped her out of existence, sort of like the way we want to do with some of our favorite select enemies. What a loss. How impoverished the world would be. Or St. Augustine, another one of my favorites. Luminary, great teacher, a leader of the church, the likes of which we only see once in 1,000 years, didn't care so much as a rusty collar button for Christ or the Gospels or anything else until he was in his 30s. And suppose God had been impatient with him. What a loss. You know what the best example of all is, though? It's the example that you see just looking in the mirror. What if God had been as impatient with us as we like to imagine that wish he would be with some of our favorite select enemies? Suppose God took all the big sinners in the world, put them all together in one big barn, and you know, just hit the delete button, and poof, they're all gone. Do you really think he'd still be here this morning? Unless you're a canonizable saint, the answer is no. I like the way Fulton Sheen once said it. He said, if the church were as perfect as you wanted it to be, they never would have let you in the door. But that's only part of the answer. The other part, now this is one you have to wrestle with. Granted, this one's mysterious, okay? But wrestle with this if you can. Goodness only comes to maturity because it has to wrestle with evil. Struggle is nature's way of making you stronger. It's true in the natural world, but you know what? It's true in the spiritual life as well. Much of the good, almost all of the good that's in your soul right now only got there because you had to struggle. Take any of your best qualities, right? Don't be ashamed to imagine them. Maybe you're generous. Maybe you're honest. Maybe you're courageous, right? Maybe you're forgiving. Best qualities. Ask yourself one question. Did that quality develop in you because you had it so easy in life? No. It developed because you had it hard. And if you got everything you wanted in life, just imagine this, with a smile and a wave of a hand, what kind of a human being would you be today? What kind of a person would you be? You'd probably be an intolerable snot, wouldn't you? And I'm not making that up. I'm stealing that idea. That idea comes from St. Thomas Aquinas, except he put it this way. If it wasn't for the cruelty of the tyrant, you would never see the holiness of the martyr. Great mystery, that one, but you want to wrestle with that because it's deeply, deeply true. The line between good and evil runs straight through every human heart. Once we realize that, we begin to understand why it's maybe not such a great idea that God should just suddenly and violently rip the evil and the good apart in this world. And it's something that teaches us just a little modicum of humility. And makes us a little bit less eager to sit ourselves in the judge's seat while God is put on trial in our midst. So what do we take away from this? I think we take away one great lesson from this. That lesson is patience. We need to learn patience. First of all, be patient with the church. In spite of everything, the church is still God's instrument in this world. Still offers all of Christ's grace. Not one single thing has been taken away. The Holy Spirit is still at the helm, has not abandoned ship. Please do not leave Jesus just because of Judas. Be patient with the church. Secondly, be patient with yourself. If you fall 1,000 times, you get up 1,000 times. I like to say it's the bounce that counts, okay? Get right back up. The grace of salvation and the grace of perseverance are the same grace. That's important. Let me say that again. The grace of salvation, that is to say, getting to heaven, And the grace of perseverance, they're the same thing. If you don't quit, you'll make it, right? Be patient with yourself. And lastly, be patient with God. In spite of how things appear, he knows what he's about. And best of all, God happens to be biased in your favor. So the problem of evil, not an easy question, not an easy answer. One thing and one thing only we need to do today, and that is to try to see this through Jesus' eyes. Let's have the faith to do so.